I want to start out this morning by reading our passage, okay? And I'm going to read the whites and you read the yellow, and it's a long passage. I understand that, okay? But let's try it. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts,
and my name is
be feared among the nations. Wow. We've seen in Malachi so far God saying that a couple times. That he's a great king, or he's the Lord of hosts. And I look at that and I think, you know, the first thing I wanted to do when I looked at my passage today, I thought, feared. Fear, when God uses fear, we kind of get that mixed up a little bit. But he's saying that he is to be feared among the nations, all people. Meaning to be highly respected by all the people because of his position as God and his power and his majesty. So I looked up, I thought, you know what, I'm going to look up a secular definition of fear, a fear of God. And this is what is said. Fear of God refers to fear or a specific sense of respect, awe, and submission to a deity. So what he's telling us is that we are to have a fear, a respect, an awe, and I'm going to talk about awe in a few minutes, awe and submission to God. And in an interesting comment, just a little farther down the page, it said, however, an unhealthy, persistent, or irrational, meaning a non-logical, irrational fear of God is a specific phobia. Now that's Greek for fear, okay, phobos. A phobia that can cause a great deal of distress to the sufferer. Now, we see that, don't we? A lot of times we see people so scared of God, so afraid to move. And so many Christians have this irrational fear that God is going to do something to them if they don't comply completely. And he sees, he hears, all-knowing and all-seeing, and he's going to do something. In our eyes, we call that superstition, okay? Superstition, that is, we get paranoid, we get superstitious about what God's going to do. And so we say things, for instance, like, which just drives me crazy, okay? And I've heard this so many times, God is going to punish me if I don't read my Bible. Have you ever heard that? Oh, yeah, man, I've heard people say that. And it's like, oh, okay, so you better go read your Bible. And then they read their Bible, but they don't know what they're reading because they're so afraid if they don't read their Bible that God's going to, like, bend their Chevy in half or something. I don't know what the, you know, who knows what it is, you know. God's going to pay me back for saying that, whatever that might be. And come on, now we all have a little bit of superstition, right? Or he took away my, and you fill in the blank, because of my actions. That's not the fear that Malachi is addressing. It's a respect and reverence issue. We fear him because of his great knowledge and wisdom. He's the creator. He's the king of all, the benefactor, the lover of our souls. The lover of our souls. Not the haters of our soul. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipresent, present everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And that deserves our respect and even awe. I love awe, right? A-W-E, awe. It means wonderstruck, awestruck, amazed, astonished, lost for words, open mouth. For I am a great king. Now, why does he say that? He's God. Because they understand king. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared or respected, excuse me, among the nations. Well, we don't have kings, and so that hurts us. Now, Ed's from England. He knows what king and queen is. We don't really get it, do we? And so we see it. But, and so it leaves a little bit of impact, lack of impact on us when God says that through Malachi. So let's put it in our own experience. When Jimmy Carter was president, on several occasions he spent the evening going to homes of common Americans that were picked at random. They would call him and say, "The president's coming to your house to visit with you," because he wanted to know what the common people thought. Okay, so let's suppose that the president and his wife have decided to come to your home, and you get the call, and they said, "We're going to come there and eat dinner with you." And so the big event arrives, and crowds line the street, and a presidential limousine pulls up in front of your house, and it's escorted with police motorcycles, squad cars, Secret Service men running around, and then the president and his wife emerge from this presidential limousine, waving at the crowds and the photographers as they walk to your front door and knock. And hearing the knock, you open the door wearing dirty jeans, torn sheet shirt, and say, "Oh, hi, come on in. I've been out mowing the lawn." And as the president and his wife steps into the cluttered living room, you say, "Sorry about the mess, but I got so engrossed in the TV news about this event, I didn't get around to cleaning the house. But dinner's almost ready, and I'm heating up leftovers in the microwave right now. I hope you don't mind paper plates." So what's wrong with that picture? Why do we think that would be absurd? Because it's the president, the powerful ruler, not only of our country, but the influencer and leader of the world at our door. And if you knew that the president was coming to your house, how would you really like that to look? Leftovers? No. Would you clean the house? Maybe add some fresh paint? Use the best dishes? Fix the finest meal? Fit for a king? The president certainly deserves more than our leftovers, right? So does God. God deserves more than our leftovers. You know, maybe I'll put it another way. What if I'm up here preaching and all of a sudden Jesus comes through the door and comes down this aisle headed towards the stage? What would your thoughts be? Would I stop preaching? Oh, yeah. Would you stop listening to me? Oh, yeah. What would your reaction be? We would be in awe. We would be awestruck. We'd be paralyzed if Christ walked down this aisle. And so Malachi quotes God and says, "I am a great king and my name needs to be feared." Isn't that true?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I don't even think he'd have to say that if he walked down the aisle. We'd already know that innately.
Yep.
Surely no one would serve leftovers. But Malachi says, "Well, wait a minute. They actually do. The priests and the people of that day were doing just that. The people would bring an unblemished lamb for an offering and a sacrifice to the temple, and the priest would reason, it just doesn't make sense to offer a unblemished lamb. Let's just pull that to the side and get a blemished lamb because we're going to just burn it up anyhow. Besides, we need the food. We're not that rich." Or when people would bring a less than blemish or unblemished lamb, a blemished lamb to the temple, the priest would say, "No, wait a minute. After all, you don't want to risk eating it. Let's just put it up in smoke." And so they would think everybody wins that way. We burn the maimed and the blemished and keep the good, so everyone wins. Well, everyone except the great king. What disrespect to a king in anybody's thinking. Through Malachi, the Lord confronts the priests and the people. You are not respecting me. In fact, you are despising me. They were not offering their sacrifices to please God, to fulfill a grueling duty. They lost the vision of who the great king was. In fact, they are bored with the whole thing, it says the verse before. You also say, oh, what a weariness to have to bring these lambs. They're going through the motions of worship, but their hearts were not seeking to exalt and glorify the God of the universe. Honoring or respecting the Lord means we give him value. Amen? We give him value. High value. In our minds, in our actions, in our life. Because that's really what love is, isn't it? Giving others value. He has given us value in his promises and his great love for us, but we don't always return that honor. Oh, what a fatiguing thing this is. I'm tired of church. I'm tired of reading my Bible. I'm tired. Because we've reduced him to our level. And when we do, we think we have better ideas than God and how God should act and how God should judge, right? Because we're on the same plane as God. Because we would be a lot more compassionate if we were God. Or you fill in the blank. Because down deep, we think we know God thoroughly. We've read about him, we've looked at the theology, we've looked at the doctrine, we looked at all that, and therefore, we know him and what his goals are. You know, I was listening to a friend say just the other day, I just don't believe in God because a good God would not send people to hell, good people to hell. Well, let's think about that for a minute. That's assuming they know God's heart and knows the person's heart, right? They know what's going on in internally, and they know God internally. How do they even know who God is, who God judges, who God even sends to hell? We can't even answer that question. Isn't it interesting, and I would say more frustrating, that they don't want to be they don't want God to judge them and evaluate them, but on the reverse, they feel great about judging God and his character. Yet my friend knows absolutely nothing of what God knows, sees, or feels when he looks at the heart of men. Let me just read this out of 1 Samuel 16:5 through 7. And he tells the story of Samuel coming down to Bethlehem to pick out a king and anoint King David, but he doesn't know it's King David yet. And so he says, then he, Samuel, consecrated Jesse and his sons, and Jesse is the dad of David, and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he, Samuel, looked at Eliab, and that's Jesse's oldest and biggest son, and says, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. If we can't know man's heart, how in the world can we know God's heart and the way he thinks and judges? Listen to Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That does not sound like an angry God, does it? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, we can't evaluate with any accuracy what God really is thinking and purposing other than what he's written. We judge, but we have little to no basis on the judgment, so we judge according to our values and what we see on the outside. What is good, what is bad, what is beautiful. If the worship team would return to the stage. I had to laugh when we were on vacation. When Debbie and I were on vacation, we were in Santorini. You see that? Isn't that pretty? It's right on a cliff built over. And we had gone down to the beach, and it's a windy road coming back up. I mean, I don't know how many steps there are, but when you get to the top, you're worn out. And so we got to the top, and we went a little ways, and there was kind of a wide spot that Debbie and I could sit down on the steps. So we sat down on the steps. And so we took up the sport of people watching. I don't know if you participate in that sport. Okay. Yeah. Don't clap. Okay. Yeah, and so people were passing by, you know, by us, and I always like to make up stories about the people as they come along when you see them to get Debbie laughing, right? Because she's like, you know, so I'd make up a story like I knew them. Like, for instance, I would see a young lady walking along, and she's kind of down, and so I'd tell her, hey, there goes Maybell. She's been up since 5 o'clock and cleaned up after all the people in the hotel. And not one of them left any spare change on the bed so that she could buy a Coke. So she's just tired. Okay, do you do that? Oh, I love doing that. Just making up this whole scenario and then we get to laughing about it, okay? And, I don't know her at all. I don't know if she just lost her dad. I don't know what the situation is with her. I just make up that story and it's fun. And the problem is we make up those stories and think they're real with people. And you know, we make these snap judgments about God and his thoughts, and it's inevitably wrong. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Can we give him that? That he knows better than us, that he's greater than us? Could we give him that? We might think God is judging us or condemning us, but that's so subjective. And that's based on our standards of good and evil and what we would do and what we wouldn't do. And when I look at it, I think we'd be a lot tougher than God. We think we'd be more gracious, but I think we'd be a lot tougher because we are in our judgment now. Why would that change? So let me illustrate a couple things here. I'm going to give a statement and you make a decision on it. He's a staunch Muslim. Okay, now think about what you're thinking, okay? Let me see if I can describe what you're thinking. I was describing a kind, humble, religious, moral Muslim. Is that what you were thinking? Okay, here's another. He's a staunch Christian. What's your first reaction? What's the first thing that comes into your head? I was describing a fanatical pro-life Christian burning down a Planned Parenthood building. Is that what you were thinking? No, we have no idea. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God's judgments are always right, based on the heart, and his love for all people. Through Malachi, the Lord of hosts has something to say to you and I this morning. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the harvest people. You don't mind me changing that a little bit, do you? He is a great king, and we need to offer him the respect and awe that's due him. Amen? We're going to take the Lord's Supper today. We have two tables over here, and we have two tables over here. And most of you know the plan. If you go over, if you're sitting with somebody, maybe get